This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims are in Rome today for the beatification ceremony of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Pope John Paul II presided over the ceremony to honor the founder of the Mission of Charities. The event is one of several this week to celebrate the 25th anniversary of John Paul's papacy, and once again, one of his assistants read a portion of his speech. His failing health has fueled speculation on the future direction of the church and his successor. NPR's Silvia Pagioli joins us from Rome. Silvia, what was the mood like in Rome for this event?
Well, St. Peter's Square was packed. An estimated 300,000 people were there, overflowing into neighboring streets. They came to pay homage to this diminutive nun who dedicated her life to the sick and dying in Calcutta, which is, of course, one of the poorest cities in the world. The square was filled with nuns of her order. They were wearing the simple white saris with a blue border. Front row seats were reserved for both poor homeless people and for VIPs. And around the Vatican, souvenir shops are selling rosaries, crucifixes, and other memorabilia with the nun's image. And there's an exhibit on Mother Teresa in the crypt of a church, which includes her notebooks, her worn sandals, and a dented metal dish she used when she came to Rome. The atmosphere there is very hushed, very spiritual. And then just down the street, a theater is hosting a musical about Mother Teresa. Here's one of the songs. So, as is usual in Rome, the atmosphere this week has been a mixture of the mystic and the venal.
Pope John Paul II seemed to bend the Vatican rules for Mother Teresa. Why?
Well, the Pope is perhaps Mother Teresa's biggest fan. They had a very, very special affinity for each other. Under the new rules introduced by John Paul, the track to sainthood lasts decades instead of centuries. Mother Teresa's beatification sets a new record because she died only 6 years ago. Some church watchers say John Paul wanted her to overshadow him during his Silver Jubilee celebrations because Mother Teresa fully embraced the Pope's conservative doctrine, including opposition to artificial contraception and abortion. John Paul has said she is an emblematic example of how the Catholic Church should be.
So is this a message for the cardinals who are in Rome, who one day will choose his successor?
Well, it certainly seems to be an appeal to follow the path he has set over the last quarter century. John Paul also sent a strong signal that he does not intend to resign, despite his swiftly deteriorating health. Addressing the cardinals during a symposium yesterday, he asked them to help him fulfill his mission as long as the Lord wishes. He also urged them to remain deeply united and to keep discord out of our hearts in order not to lose credibility. He seems to be very well aware of the debate that's brewing within the Catholic Church over its future direction. Some prelates are very critical of how centralized this papacy has become, how little tolerance there is for dissent. Many bishops around the world would like to have a greater say in how the church is run, and many lay Catholics feel they've been sidelined following the reforms of the Second Vatican Council. There's also a big division among Catholics over John Paul's teachings on sexual morality and bioethics, his insistence on priestly celibacy, and his opposition to ordaining women into the priesthood.
Are there any indications of who could be the next pope?
Well, it's always hard to make predictions about papal conclaves, and all the more so after such a long papacy. John Paul has appointed all but five of the 130 cardinals who are now of voting age and could elect the next pope. But there's a long-standing theory of the pendulum, that a conservative pope is followed by a liberal one and vice versa. This has also been a very complex papacy during which the Catholic Church has undergone some seismic shifts. The majority of the world's billion-plus Catholics has moved away from Europe. 68% of Catholics are now in Latin America, Africa, and Asia. And that proportion is expected to rise even more in the next few decades. The Pope's conservative doctrine has played much better in the Third World than in Europe and North America. So this has led to some predictions that the next Pope could come from the Third World. And the biggest challenges there are competition from other religions. In Latin America, the percentage of Protestants, mostly born-again evangelicals and Pentecostalists, has more than doubled in the last quarter of a century. And in Africa and Asia, the biggest rival is Islam, which is also rapidly growing.
But the majority of cardinals are European, aren't they?
Absolutely. But the church in Europe is in serious crisis. The issue of secularization is a huge challenge. Churches are increasingly empty in traditionally Catholic countries like France, where only 12% of Catholics attend church regularly. And in Italy, for example, Italy has the lowest birth rate in the world. John Paul has labeled Western societies cultures of death, which has further alienated European Catholics from the church. And in the United States, the Pope's tardy response to the priestly sex abuse scandal has angered many American Catholics. The next Pope will have to wrestle both with divisions within the church as well as wage a global battle for converts. This has led some analysts to speculate that the next Pope will have to be very flexible and a master of compromise.
NPR's Silvia Pagioli in Rome. Silvia, thanks very much.
Thank you, Leanne.